VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Every goal, every game, everywhere. The Times and the Sunday Times, now with Goals.
Hello and welcome to The Game, the football podcast from The Times. I am Max Rushton, in for Gab. You may remember me from an historic Times The Game podcast on Tuesday the 9th of February, where we waited a whole day to bring you all the news from a transfer window where nothing happened. Great times. Today we try and say something new about Leicester City, clean sheets and Jamie Vardy. Spurs now need Leicester to do a Jordan Spieth as they see off Manchester United to almost keep the dream alive as LVG resorts to picking players and positions out of a hat. Elsewhere, same old Arsenal, same old Everton. Andy Carroll for England, question mark. Palace's first win since 1941. And Villa and Newcastle aren't very good again. On today's pod, we are joined by... are you the chief football correspondent, Henry?
What's chief football writer.
Chief football writer and star of those marvellous adverts on the television. Henry Winter. Not on the phone here in person. Person today, Matt Hughes. How are you, Matt?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for coming in and not just ringing in. Rory Smith doesn't even ring it in anymore. And the devilishly handsome Julien Laurent.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, ça va?
Ça va très bien.
It's so hard for me to know if I fancy you more or less than I fancy Gylfi Sigurdsson.
His middle name is?
What, Gylfi's middle name?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Do you want to wait until the end? Should we have that
it's
as
brilliant.
Like
a... It's brilliant. It's one of the best. It's up with Bob Wilson and Primrose and Peter Schmeichel and Boleslaw. It's my favourite.
Okay. Do you want to say now or do we leave it till right at the end so people are forced to listen to all of it? What do you reckon, producer Dave?
Let's tease it.
Oh, what a tease. That was extraordinary. There you go. Find out at the end. I mean, obviously, you can Google it right away. So, you know, just tell us, Henry.
Thor.
Oh, that's magnificent. I like him even more. And I didn't know that was possible. Thanks all for coming, because it's better that you're here. Let's start with Sunderland 0, Leicester City 2. I'm starting to get bored of Leicester City just winning and, you know, making the Premier League tedious, and I'll have it sewn up by the end of April. Your thoughts, please, Henry.
I can't believe we're having a backlash against Leicester
already,
City.
Yeah.
We hate fairy tales. It's brilliant. And I just hope it goes on and on and on. And if they do it in the next three games, and they have a couple of games towards the end of the season where they are just being feted probably all over the country, certainly at Chelsea in the last game, that Ranieri and the team will get an absolute brilliant reception, partly because they'll have pipped Spurs to first place. But also what they are doing is a complete indictment of regimes and philosophies elsewhere. They are a team in the true sense of the word. I mean, I imagine that Kante will leave, Mahrez will leave. I know Vardy a bit. I'd be surprised if he leaves. So you've got individuals there all on a personal mission. Some of them are on a financial mission to make life better for them, their kids, their grandkids, in the case of Kante and Mahrez. But you know, there's a real team. I spent a bit of time with them in the last few months, and there's a real bond there. And you've got a manager who's playing players in the right position, which LVG might consider. They are not going crazy on money, which other clubs might consider. So I just think it's a tonic, and it's one of those stories that has jumped out of the football bubble, and that people who are not interested in football are saying, Leicester, that's fantastic. And for some people, it is two fingers to, you know, the whole against modern football movement. And I think that's to be welcomed.
Matt, has it rendered all punditry pointless?
It's made a lot of people look very silly, including Benny in this room, probably me foremost. I didn't think it would last. In October, I think I was here and we talked about them finishing the top four, and I just couldn't see them sustaining it. Having said that, the more and more I've watched them as the season go on, I've thought they would win it for a couple of months, because they just don't lose games. The defending has been so outstanding since Christmas. Five clean sheets in a row at the moment. Morgan and Huth look unpassable, basically. The fullbacks working very, very hard, and I think they're going to win it with games to spare, as Henry said.
There's a joy to Morgan and Huth that, you know, when they've been closed down by a winger or a centre forward, They just boot it out. You know, they don't try and John Stones it. You know, they're exactly. there and they do a job, and it's sensible park football. Just get rid if in doubt.
But that's the secret of their success. I think they do what they're good at, and they don't try to do something they can't do. It's as simple as that. I think, you know, they're not good at passing the ball from the back. They give it to Drinkwater or Conte or someone else, or Mahrez, someone else would do it for them, or the fullbacks. I think Vardy knows very well how to take the space in behind and score goals like he did on Sunday, and he scored two, and that was brilliant. Conte does what he can. He doesn't try to do something like Zidane would do. And Mahrez does what he does best as well. And I think that's the secret. They're not just working for each other as a team, like Henry said, or defending really well, like Maggio said. They also do what they're good at and not try to do something else.
And they're also being treated like adults. I mean, Ranieri, you know, when they had this gap, he said, well, go away. Just go away. You know, go away to Dubai somewhere. Christian Fuchs, his wife and kids live in New York, and occasionally he needs an extra day. And he asks Ranieri, he said, can I have an extra day off? And he goes off there. There's a huge amount of trust with these players. But obviously what goes on in training at Beaver Drive, I've been going to Beaver Drive for about 30 years. And normally there is one man, and sometimes it's just a dog, let alone one man outside the training ground. You go there now, and it's not quite Beatlemania, but it's Kasabian mania. You've got about 30 people standing around outside. You've got a lone Spanish photographer who's there sort of taking pictures, trying to capture the fairy tale. But what goes on inside there? Everyone thinks that, you know, they're almost a sort of team who've just sort of been thrown together, and there's a slight village fate atmosphere to think less. You go behind the scenes there, it's serious sports science. I'm sure you've been there, mates. I mean, it's, you know, they go out there and they test the turf beforehand, sports science dudes, before they go out training, and they will then tell Ranieri how long the players can train for, because the given the turf is will cause a problem. They'll go into the red zone, as Wenger's always talking about, and that's one of the reasons why they haven't had many injuries this season. But also, Ranieri is such a character. I mean, he 2 weeks ago he stopped training and he said, right, who hasn't scored? He had a go at Wes Morgan. He said, you haven't scored in a game, everyone else is contributing. And Danny Simpson and Mark Albrighton, who haven't scored this season, were sort of, you know, creeping away, trying to sort of hide behind sort of Robert Huth so they wouldn't be spotted. And there is that humour, but there's also that sense of professionalism.
Does that not happen elsewhere, that players aren't trusted? You're saying, you know, Fuchs needs an extra day off, go away to Dubai or whatever in that time off when there was an international break. Does that not happen?
I think there's a culture in English football that it's almost like a school trip. And you take the passports off professional footballers when they're 8, 9, and you give them back when they retire.
I work with Paul Merson, so, you know, sensible in some cases.
there's probably a reason for that. You see some clubs, players are trusted and they abuse that trust. They make daft decisions. Jack Wilshere going out on a Saturday night when he hasn't played for a year. Gabby Abonahor going to Dubai and smoking shisha pipes. The thing at Leicester is that the players respect the manager enough, respect themselves and the club to warrant being trusted, and it's kind of a two-way street, isn't it?
And when Jamie Vardy had that, you know, incident in the casino one night, you know, they dealt with it very professionally, I thought, and they never. Ranieri could have gone mad with Vardy, and I think Ranieri, for all the fun we had when he was appointed, and all of us saying, like, really, Ranieri, really? And, you know, Gary Lineker, not just us, everybody. He's been so key, and see him, you know, in tears yesterday after the win. He's not an actor. That was proper, genuine, emotional. Because I think for all the stick he got when he got there, and surely it was not nice, what a revenge it is for him.
They're in the Champions League now.
I mean, yeah, and he's not
Pep. That's almost the best story of the lot, which has slightly got lost because of Vardy and Leicester and, you know, bottom a year ago. But Ranieri, a 30-year career, never won a title. Mourinho laughs at him when he comes to Chelsea, says this guy is a kind of, you know, serial second place. Since then, he's gone to Italy and finished second with about 3 clubs. Didn't win the league in France.
Nope.
He comes to Leicester in his first season, wins what is supposed to be the most competitive championship of them all. It's just
incredible. It was brutal when he left. I mean, I was there and I was listening in to some of the briefings not too far from here in the centre of town, Chelsea's briefings against Ranieri. And it was, you know, it was very undignified. And you were sitting around the table. I remember there was one breakfast meeting, listening to one or two club officials who probably better remain unnamed, and, you know, they were briefing against their manager. You know, I mean, that doesn't really happen so
which
overtly.
Which ones were they?
and then, of course, we had the game in Monaco as well. You know, obviously, he sent on Varane, and there were some fairly strange sort of tactical decisions. But Chelsea went out, and you almost felt in some parts of the club that, you know, there was happiness that they'd gone out of Europe because it made it easier to get rid of Ranieri. And of course, as Matt's sort of alluding to, the whole drama and the fairy tale, particularly around Ranieri, that the last game of the season is at Stamford Bridge is just glorious.
And you, just another anecdote. When he was at Monaco, the players complained it was too boring. The sessions, the training was boring. It was always the same thing. And I've been lucky, a bit like Henry, to go. I've been once to the training grounds. I was invited there not long ago, and I saw the training, and everybody was laughing. All the players were enjoying themselves. It was simple drills they were doing, but they were all laughing. And I was like, what's wrong with the Monaco players? You know, if, unless Ranieri has changed massively in a couple of years. But I can't see, you know, a Leicester team that is not enjoying clearly having him as a manager, like the Monaco players clearly didn't.
There's a great double act between Ranieri and Vardy, which I don't know whether how much we see of it. But behind the scenes, the two of them are just like a sort of comic act, and Vardy will wind up Ranieri.
Are they two Ronnies? Are they Laurel and Hardy? What's the
two Ranieris? But Vardy's can play it completely straight face and will just wind Ranieri up. I mean, the whole thing about when everyone was praising Ranieri because after Vardy got the record, he said that the players can have a drink on the coach coming back. Vardy ambushed him on that. Vardy walked into the training ground and said, I've done the record, and the manager says that we can all have a drink on the coach coming back. And everyone said, oh, thank you, Claudio. And Claudio said, what? I haven't decided anything yet. So there is this... Look, it looks like a great fun dressing room to be in. Yeah, plus the women.
Quick mention of Sunderland. I've written Jack Rodwell and five exclamation marks. Because they could have... I mean, Rodwell scores and it's 1-1 and then it changes... Sort of changes this whole conversation a bit, doesn't it?
The best thing was he missed and then looked straight at the linesman and he was praying, please, raise your flag, please, please, I was off. Because you can't miss a chance like that when you're in this, you know, in a fight against relegation like they are, and when you are at that level, how can you miss just like that? And he was praying to be flagged off offside so he would have an issue, say, oh yeah, I missed, but it didn't matter because I was offside anyway. But he wasn't, and it's pretty embarrassing, I thought.
27 points, 4 off Norwich, game in hand. So they're still alive, Sunderland. Let's go to Spurs, Manchester United. You mentioned the dressing room at Leicester. There seems to be that same sort of vibe, Matt, at Spurs, doesn't there?
Yeah, I was there yesterday with Henry, and they started poorly, and first hour wasn't great, but their team spirit and self-belief is clearly there. You thought that maybe Leicester winning, going 10 points behind, unsettled them, but clearly not. They responded emphatically second half, and... Well, it wasn't a great performance. They scored 3 very good goals, and I thought, particularly when Eriksen got on the ball and started running at Darmian towards the end of the second half, they looked, it's unlikely, but they're still there and they won't give up.
When you both go to a game, what do you decide? Who does first? Someone does first half, someone does second, then you have a cup of tea? Or are you writing a colour piece?
I make the tea.
I listen to Matt's ideas and nick them.
That's perfect. I've talked about this a lot, and lots of people have talked about Spurs fitness. You watch that game, and you just, the more it went on, you were like, well, Spurs are just, they're infinitely fitter than Manchester United. And I don't understand how one football team who train all week can be so much fitter than another football team who train all week. Can anyone explain that?
I think there's also a mental freshness about Spurs, which if you're making the contrast, which I assume you are with Manchester United, they look mentally tired, mentally stale, mentally bombarded by Van Gaal's philosophy, by all his sort of ideas and sort of clipboard stuff. But with Spurs, you can just see Pochettino's influence. And we saw it at Southampton as well, the double training sessions. The players, I mean, I talked to Stephen Davis, who said he actually found matches easier than Southampton training because Pochettino pushed them so hard. I'm sure it was the same at Espanyol before. So he works them hard like that. And you can see it. Also, when you've got younger players, they're going to respond and they'll run through a brick wall, which they're doing. But I mean, everyone's talked about sort of Dele Alli and Harry Kane and Eriksen, as Matt rightly points out, was excellent yesterday. But Lamella is almost the greatest embodiment of Pochettino's effect, because, you know, Lamella came over here, what was he, sort of 30 million quid, and then he sort of dipped, and then suddenly Pochettino got, and he was running all over, the stamina, the influence, the goals, the assists. So I mean, it's an interesting battle. I mean, if Leicester win the title, which I'm sure they will, who is going to be manager of the year? Ranieri, I'm sure, will get the popular vote, but there'll be a lot of people wanting voting for Pochettino as well.
Will anybody be voting, Julien, for LVG as manager of the year?
Me? I want him to stay as long as possible in England.
You said he's a fraud months
he
ago.
He's more than a fraud now. I just thought yesterday was, for me, they're like... Just to to add to what Henry said about why they're fitter, I think it's down to the manager. The energy that Pochettino brings in his team talk at halftime, before the game, not so much after the game, but at training every day. Imagine being in a dressing room with LVG, trying not to laugh at LVG's team talk in the dressing room before the game. It's just like Pochettino, he's a volcano of energy, and that transmits to his players. And no wonder they're so fit, they're so pumped up for every game. And even when things are not really working out in the first half of an hour, they're still there, because on the touchline, he's always there for them, everything. And I think that's big chance. LVG, I don't know what to say anymore. I just don't know what to say.
I don't think you can quite call him a fraud when he's won. You can't call someone with his CV a fraud. I would say he's lost his way, but you can't call him a fraud.
I think the fraud bit was in his United time, and for what he's delivered, I think he's been a fraud. I think he's been so disappointed, so poor, everything. Not just the money he spent, every tactical decision is made, every choice is playing the player out of position. It's just from start to finish over those years, I think he's been dreadful.
I think it's one of the really great sadnesses that you've got, very distinguished manager when you look at his CV and you look at some of the teams that he's managed and the football that he's produced. I think it's a great sadness that he has lost his way. I don't think he has the right people around him who are sort of advising him. And it is. The one good thing he's done is given the younger kids a chance, which Manchester United might not see next season.
How much was
Jose
that down to him, though?
I think a lot of it was down to injuries. He had no choice, and he had to bring them in.
Is the only reason that here's a guy with a great CV who's now not doing it because he's got the wrong people around him? I mean, why is this happening?
I think he's been overtaken by.
He can have any excuses, really. I mean, they've invested £250 million. There are some talented young players there. He's got all the support he needs. I don't think he's a fraud, but I agree to an extent with Julian's use of language. I think this philosophy is fraudulent, because he talks about the philosophy all the time and his style of football. He claims they play attacking football. It's just not true. You watch them, they're so sterile. As Julian was saying, imagine being in the dressing room. He's a dour man who's kind of weighed down by his own arrogance.
He's very charismatic. He's got a good sense of humour. He is completely seen through the obsession of the media in this country with personality over philosophy. Philosophy, sadly, has become a dirty word. It was actually the English. I'm not including Julian in this because you come from an intelligent football country. But we are obsessed with personality. And Klopp saw this. Brilliant talking to some of the people around Klopp. He saw within 10 days that the English media, they were interested in headlines, and it will always be Klopp blasts, has a go at the ref, has a go at former players, having a go at whatever. It would never be, let's have an intelligent debate about football. And that's why I do have some sympathy with LVG. Also, one of the first things he said when he came over here, he said he took one look at particularly the English players in training at Carrington, and he said, I want to make them play more with their heads than their hearts, which is something that the England national team has needed for years. Unfortunately, he's gone too far the other way, and he's sucked all the life and the joy out of them. But he's not a fraud.
So what do Manchester United do now? Anyone know?
Silence.
they have spent a lot of money, and they don't. It still looks like a squad that needs.
Can you imagine if Pochettino went in there? I would say they've got some decent players, and they've got one of the world's best goalkeepers. They've got some decent defenders.
The young fullback was good yesterday.
Yeah,
he did play well today.
Yeah, no, he's good. Borthwick Jackson is good. Martial's good if he gets played in the right position. I mean, I do agree with. Some of his tactical decisions are nonsensical. I mean, particularly Mata to try and track back with Danny Rose to help out an 18-year-old. Kid who's only making his second start for Manchester United, who actually did brilliantly for Cementa, but you know, Mata should be playing at 10. Anyway, his tactics were all over the place. But look, Mourinho can come in, he can tighten all that up. But if I were Ed Woodward, I would do everything I could to try and tempt Pochettino. But he won't go
You wouldn't go now, would you?
You wouldn't go now because he wants the Champions League, and he's got a young, hungry team which is going places.
He's got a better chance to win stuff at Tottenham than he has at United, probably.
If you did an aggregate team or an all-star team on yesterday, the only one guaranteed to get in ahead of a Spurs player would be De Gea.
Guaranteed over Lloris, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, De Gea's top three goalkeepers in the world. Oh.
Where's Lloris? Seven? He's pretty high.
Four or five. Yeah.
He has one or two flaws in his game, but he's not as far away.
He's more of a leader, though, isn't he? I think he's more of a leader than De Gea.
Lloris, yeah, definitely.
De Gea's slightly more individual. Lloris is, from what I gather, is very, very influential in that dressing room and with France, as you would know. Yeah.
Next up for Leicester, home to West Ham on Sunday, not a gimme. Spurs go to Stoke on Monday. And actually, Spurs, every game for the next three, I think, are Mondays. Sort of the chasing Leicester makes it any more difficult. Is anybody giving Spurs a hope of winning the title?
No sort of disrespect to Spurs. It's great to see a club like that doing well, but just Leicester are flying. They've got this ambition, as everyone said. The defence is good. Kasper Schmeichel, I mean, he really gets spoken about as one of the goalkeepers of the season. But he's been, you know, I mean, this is, again, coming back to the intelligence of the Leicester players. He's gone and studied, taken time out to study other sports. He studied quarterbacks in the NFL and just looked at the way they distributed the ball. Obviously, it's completely different throwing action, but he looked at how individual runners up front would create space. And when Albrighton, Mahrez and Vardy are staying up when the opposition have corners, one of them will make a decoy run, and then, as you do get with running backs, I don't know much about NFL, but this is what he's been studying. He also studied Roger Federer at length, just in terms of that speed off the line. For a serve and volley, because he's Casper's quite a good tennis player as well. So I admire that. And he watched again NBA to see how individuals have us. I mean, one of the best NBA players at the moment, you know far more than I do, is not very tall, but he's got a great leap on him. So Kasper Schmeichel has looked at that in terms of trying coming out to claim.
How Henry thinks I know this. It's just most, well, so real.
Well, Steph Curry. He was expecting you to say Steph Curry.
Yeah, obviously. Well, I let NBA you say it. Yeah. I like the NFL. Taking that NFL thing one step further, who's that big lump that Leicester brought on against Arsenal who gave away that amazing free kick?
Vasilevskiy.
Yes. Vasilevskiy. He basically bought a linebacker there, yeah, didn't he? Accidentally went, took it one step too far. Let's talk about the other game on Sunday. Liverpool 4-1 comprehensive win over Stoke. Klopp, you see, perhaps more with the Dortmund game as well, but you see it starting to happen with Liverpool. Or certainly I do. Does anyone else?
See bits. I don't think he's quite had the impact we expected, Liverpool fans would have hoped for, but then again, he's not bought a player, as he said. You give him a pre-season to work very hard with the players, add two or three, then we'll see where Liverpool are next season. What's encouraging is that he seems to have found a way to get some goals in the team, and Origi and Sturridge both made an impact yesterday, and obviously it doesn't look good for Benteke, who's going to be out the door, isn't he?
It's like Pochettino. When Pochettino arrived at Spurs, give him a bit of time at club as well. Who thought that he could arrive and 2 months later they would play like the best team in the world and beat everybody? And they had some great games, but he just needed a bit of time, a bit of recruitment, like Matt said, a pre-season as well. But it's exactly like Pochettino. You know, Pochettino needed a bit of time, and once his methods have gone through to the players, once the double session training, especially in pre-season, has worked out to make sure they were the fittest possible in the league and fitter than everybody else, then he started working out, and he will work out for club, there's no doubt about that. He just needs a bit of time.
I think he's going to be one of the great Liverpool managers.
Really?
I just think he's an absolute, you can see the love affair between him and the Kop. You can see the impact he's had on players. Lallana was drifting and he is lasting longer in games. He's got Sturridge playing, he's got Origi playing, he's given the kids a chance. You just go to Anfield now and he's lifted the mood all over. So I agree the results haven't necessarily followed, but look, this is one of the best managers in European football in the last 10 years. So you could have actually argued that he was taking a step down to go to Liverpool. Great historic club, but have been sort of drifting in recent times. I mean, someone like him, I mean, Arsenal should have had a look at someone like him because he would have transformed them.
We mentioned Arsenal. Before the podcast, we get to have a pre-match team talk from Ian Wright. And he was overjoyed. He thought, excellent point at West Ham. That was the vibe I got from Wrighty just before we came on. What kind of Arsenal performance was that, Matt?
Typical. All too typical. 2-0 up against a good team and throw it away and can't defend crosses, can't defend aerial balls. It's just so predictable. We've seen it so many times. I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, Newcastle won at Arsenal, Andy Carroll, in his first season, Premier League player, scored a great header from the edge of the box, and they still haven't found a solution to it. What was even more astonishing was the fact that if ever there was a game for Per Mertesacker, that was it.
And Peter Cech.
Yeah, he left them both out. I'm so bored. Julian watches a lot of Arsenal. He must be so bored. His wife works for the club, and it's just so depressing and frustrating. I'm not even an Arsenal fan.
Well, it's difficult for Julian to say, but I mean, I think for the last 5 years, I felt he should have gone. He was...
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts.
That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
He was drifting. I have so much admiration for Wenger. I'll never forget the first briefing that he gave in the old boardroom at Tyburn, and we all sort of sat down there, and everyone was going, you know, it was on the back of the standard headline of Arsene Who, and we all sort of sat there, and David Dean introduced us to Arsene Wenger and explained who he was, and then Wenger just talked. He talked for 45 minutes with barely a pause, describing his philosophy, what he wanted to do with the club, his respect for the club, his knowledge of English football, and we all walked out of there thinking, wow, this guy's going to dominate for the next 20 years. He's unbelievable. And then the players he brought in, I think Patrick was already on his way, but Thierry came in, and Thierry struggled initially. And then, you know, he got him playing, and then he produced that marvellous Invincibles team. But ultimately, you know, everyone runs their course. And I think it's one of the great sadnesses is that one of the greatest managers this country has ever seen, not that just Arsenal Football Club's ever seen, the tail end of his career, he is going out with gathering clouds, with supporter unrest, with criticism in the media, when really he should be fated as one of the, you know, probably the top 5-10 managers this country's ever seen.
Talking for 45 minutes without a pause is a sort of homage to Gab Marcotti, isn't it? I'm kidding, Gab. Anyway, I never see you, so it's fine. Andy Carroll, I've written Julien, Andy Carroll for England, ?
Yeah, for me, yeah. I mean, Matt and Henry are probably a better position for me, but I just can't see why, if he stays fit and if he keeps scoring a bit until the end of the season, why you wouldn't take someone who gives you something different, something else. You're not going to start him when you play France in the final and you lose against France in the final. But if you're one goal down with 20 minutes to go, just bring him on. It will be a handful for the opposition defence. And, you know, if you think about, I don't know, Rooney, Kane, Vardy, and what, Welbeck and Walcott?
Sturridge,
yeah, somewhere Sturridge. Maybe there. I think it would be interesting to have him in your squad.
Him and Crouch together.
No, not Crouch, but no, seriously, even if you leave Walcott
out.
So
who do you leave out? Because Kane, Vardy, Rooney are nailed on.
Yeah.
And then you're already
Welbeck's nailed on.
Leave Walcott home.
And Sturridge.
So
Sturridge and Walcott are probably already competing for one place.
But Walcott, yeah, but he counts as a midfielder. Yeah, so he wouldn't count as the
I think
five.
Walcott might not make it again.
But you're going to play with one up front anyway. So arguably, even if you take Sturridge in, you're not going to play Sturridge. Welbeck can play wide, I guess. But, you know, Sturridge, Kane, Vardy.
Do you know there are two things against him? First, the free kick counts in Europe. He should have got sent off at the weekend.
Yeah,
that was a flailing elbow. And the second thing is, and I know he's worked on this, but Slaven Bilic alluded to it, is that, I think to use Hodgson's expression, is he a good tourist? Is he a good citizen? What is he going to be like sitting on the bench? Okay, and that isn't always
Bilic's
an issue.
Comments on Saturday actually were really interesting. Given the ground's got a hat trick and winning the game, he was quite critical. He said, oh, he's got to work harder, he's got to stay fit and...
He realised that there were going to be headlines coming on the back of this. But then the lawyer and him thought, right, I'm actually going to go for it.
But that's just a really interesting point you made, Henry, because I mentioned Paul Merson. I worked with him, and he talks about World Cups and how difficult for some people it is to be just cosseted for a month or long, you know, for as long if you get further on in the tournament.
The problem
how is hard it is. Yeah, true. You're right. I mean, no, it's a mini break, isn't it? But that's actually you've got to pick players not just on ability or what they're going to do on the pitch, but how they react to the whole situation.
We had this hilarious conversation with Fabio Capello when he arrived, and we said, "You realise you're dealing with English footballers, they do get very bored in tournaments. And he was used to dealing with some Maldini and Costa Curta, and there'd be some Baresi, and they'd be playing sort of chess and sort of, you know, singing Verdi arias to each other. And I said, well, listen, you know, Rooney be on his PlayStation. And Rooney, to be fair, has got a bit more sort of hinterlands. You know, he sort of travels with all his sort of war DVDs and things like that. You know, there's a, you know, there are some interesting characters. Leighton Baines is in there with all his sort of Japanese poetry and things like that. So, you know, there are some characters in there. But English players do not travel well. They get bored very quickly. And it's partly the FA's fault for the, you know, Rustenburg in 2010 was just horrific. You know, I mean, they got out once to go round a safari park and then got spooked by photographers and so went back inside again. You know, I mean, this is the country that, you know, the players, you know, half of the squad didn't go and see, they had a jet laid on for them to go and see Nelson Mandela in 2003 when England were playing in Durban. Half the squad didn't go. None of the squad took the opportunity to go over to Robben Island when they were Cape Town after that wretched Algeria game in 2010. So, you know.
Is this a problem with the education system in England?
Possibly. Also, I think it's possibly the media. You know, we sort of build these people up to be sort of superheroes when actually they are still members of the human race and they should embrace. Again, it's another thing. How many English players actually go abroad to play? We've had so many of the younger players get lost going from the hotel to, you know, just even just for a short walk outside. We had the crazy situation in the under-21s last summer where the England under-21s coach took the squad from the hotel to the stadium, and I measured it out and it was 147 metres.
It's a tough trip, though, isn't it?
It is a dangerous trip. Czech Republic. Those Banik and Strava ultras.
In the summer.
They were all on holiday.
Did you, speaking of you mentioned Jack Wilshere.
No, but let me
earlier.
Just... Oh, no, yes, so you don't think you should... Either of you don't think you should go?
I just think that, ultimately, Hodgson might look at, is he a good tourist?
Did anyone see the excellent story about Jack Wilshere getting a new minder that is his girlfriend's dad and also his hairdresser?
Wilshere, yeah.
Jack Wilshere. That's marvellous.
But
marvelous.
Sorry, who goes out on a date with their girlfriend's dad? I mean, surely he's the one person you don't want to be taking out on the date.
But it's not just a date, it's just any night out, isn't it? So like any night, if it's your minder, he's there all the time.
Is he a minder or a spy?
I don't know. And if he's a minder, what does he... If someone's giving Jack a bit of grief, does he say, look, I've bought my clippers. Do you want them?
You're the number one.
Yeah. You know, I'll do you whatever you want if you don't take a photo. Just a brilliant
story. After 10 gin and tonic, he said, come on, Jack, I think you've had enough.
Yeah. Going anywhere on holiday?
Yeah.
Are you a good tourist? Wenger under pressure then. Roberto Martinez also under some pressure. Banners at Watford. Some more casual defending from John Stones. Led to that corner, which Watford equalised from. 39 points, 4 home wins this season. Only Villa with fewer home wins. Is Martinez right to be under this sort of pressure, Matt?
I think it's understandable. I'm a Martinez fan, really. I like what he's trying to do. I like the way he plays football. There are a lot of young players in that team. I like the way he's trusting Ross Barkley and playing him at 10 and giving him game time. Hopefully England will benefit from that in years to come. Having said that, they're so naive, aren't they? The amount of games they've dominated and thrown away is embarrassing, really. And there comes a point, I think, when, for all his admirable philosophy, sometimes he's just got to teach players to see out games, and he seems incapable of doing that. There's a bit of Wenger in there, actually, and he won't change. Can he change? Is he too stubborn? He's younger, so obviously he's got time to learn. But it's a big summer for Everton. If they don't win the FA Cup, new ownership, they've got a big call to make.
I was speaking to some Everton fans on the excellent TalkSport yesterday. And you're probably listening, I imagine. Yeah. They are terrified that Martinez will be trusted with the TV money and the new injection of cash that they should get with new ownership. They're saying, you don't want to trust him with that. Get someone else in now.
It's interesting, the Everton fans. I mean, there's a fascinating dynamic here in that a lot of people want the John Stones experiment to work because we see how sterile England can be in terms of creativity at tournaments. And if you have a sort of Rio Ferdinand, John Stones type individual who can bring the ball out from the back, what an extra fantastic weapon that will give England at international level. Everton fans are looking at it and saying, well, you know, we like this kid, but he's costing us games, and he cost them at the weekend. I mean, that was a crazy pass to make. I mean, it wasn't just the speed of it, it was the height of it. I mean, the keeper had very little chance, as you say, it went out for the corner and cost them. But I really like Stones, and this is, you just really want to see him develop. Martinez, of course, has got to sort of tighten up defensively. I mean, talk to Wigan fans, they're still recovering from that, although they had a great day out at Wembley. But John Stones, I do slightly balk at all this criticism that's been thrown at John Stones, because first, we don't have any good defenders in this country. Secondly, particularly centre-halves. And you just want to see John Stones. He'll make mistakes, but you know, in 2-3 years' time, he may well be, you know, one of the best centre-halves, ball-playing centre-halves in Europe. Unfortunately, Everton will pay the price in the meantime.
I mean, Stones is a diamond for me. I love him. I think the role of a manager is to be able to polish rough diamond. That's what Fergie used to do with, you know, his younger players, Wenger, in a way as well. Well, what is he doing with Stones? What is Martinez doing? What is he telling him? Is he telling him play the way you like to play? Well, I don't understand how Martinez is supposed to make Stones improving, and instead he's not actually improving at all. He's probably disimproving. I don't understand the relationship they have, and maybe because I'm not very familiar with Everton, but for me, the role of Martinez should be to make his players better. Even with Barkley, I think there was a time where Barkley was really improving, and I'm just not sure Martinez is the right man to have that sort of philosophy with young players when I see what he's doing with Stones.
I think it'd be fascinating to see what Pep Guardiola could do with John Stones if he went to City. He's obviously a manager of a history of playing midfield players at centre-back, loves ball players, but equally, you know, all his teams have been very tight defensively. You think if there's one manager who could nurture John Stones, it would be him. And if the City prepared to pay £40 million, then it would be a good move for all parties.
They're very keen on him. I mean, you're right, Matt. Guardiola would be brilliant. But also, as a general theme, I think sort of players also have to take responsibility for their own development. And there are enough former good defenders floating around sort of backstage at Everton that you could go and talk to and work on. I mean, Stones is a bright individual. You know, his mother was a former British athlete. His father was a sort of local non-league player whose career sort of ended early. He's got good people around him, advisors, friends. He's a very sensible individual. You would just hope that he would be focusing on developing, particularly when, as Julien says, his manager's not necessarily helping him develop.
Yeah. Yeah, just 45 minutes injury time. Just Robert Huth it. That's what you have to do in that situation. Anyway. Let's go to the bottom. Newcastle, 3-1 defeat at Southampton. Rafa said their players are scared. Julien?
I don't know if they were scared. They were rubbish, that's for sure. I don't know if scary is the word, but they were dreadful. Maybe Rafa is just not good for that kind of mission. I don't know, you know, of trying to stay up and having to score goals to win games, to get points, to get out of the bottom three. Because surely for now it's not good enough. You know, is it 4 games now he's been in? We haven't seen enough, I think.
One point
in 4 games, it's just not good enough. Yeah, it was in the derby and it was a late one that was probably important psychologically, but it's just not good enough. And again, it was a tough place to go. I agree on Saturday at Southampton. But I thought they were so poor. And they were like, again, you think that he would get them organised so well that they wouldn't concede the type of goal that Shane Long scored. That's a league. That's a Sunday league goal. How can you defend like that? It's just meant at that level.
He dropped the shoulder well, to be fair. The whole team.
He didn't even drop the shoulder. He did a little hook, and that was it. The whole defence, where they were all over the place, and I just don't really recognise a Rafa team when I see Newcastle playing.
But you know, Rafa is. It seems to be a classic example of a manager overestimating their own abilities and underestimating the problems they would face. I spoke to someone who knows Rafa well at the weekend, and they were saying how surprised he's been at how bad Newcastle are, and we're both thinking lots of people could have told him.
Yeah,
he could have watched them play. Managers just think, oh, I can get a tune out of this player, I'll change things, I'll organise them, but it's just not that easy. The players there, half of them have already checked out, they're looking for moves in the summer back to the continent, and the ones that left just aren't very good.
For the last 10 years, I've been going to St James's Park during Stephen Taylor's career, and there's a local journalist there, experienced local journalist, who, whenever I come out, he says, right, let's sit down together, watch the match. Obviously, you're working during the match, but he just knows that we are the founder members of the Stephen Taylor Non-Appreciation Society.
You're not the only ones.
Well, we've got we started out meeting in a sort of telephone booth because Stephen Taylor was, you know, sort of fated locally, but I think we could put Wembley out now. He is a liability. He is. You saw it yesterday, and he is. There's one player who does this fantastic impersonation of Stephen Taylor when he's made a mistake doing a certain action that it's other people's mistake. He is kind of what's wrong with a lot of English football in terms of, you know, he started out with an element of talent, but, you know, he's made a good living out of not doing too much. And, you know, all Newcastle United fans want is a little bit of concentration, a shirt that's stained with sweat at the end of it, and just giving everything. And unfortunately, it's not just Taylor. I mean, Colo Caccini, I mean, you can go through the whole squad. You know, they've just let them down on a serial basis.
But people keep saying their squad is too good to be in this position.
No, they haven't got the heart.
Palace's first league victory for 273 years against Norwich.
You said 1941. That's impossible because they didn't play in 1941.
That's a very good point. Thanks. Damn it.
I'm showing my age.
Prove the research, my terrible research that I've done.
That's a bad mistake.
Bring back Marcotti. So, look, Palace needed that, didn't they? Yeah. Desperately, because they're really starting to sink. And if Norwich had won, it would have been great for the relegation, because you want, on the last of the season, eight teams to be able to win the title and the other 12 to almost be going down.
It just shows they're a great cup team, isn't it? Because if you're going to pick one Premier League game to win, it's against Norwich.
Yeah.
And as in their FA Cup run, they've won a game that mattered, and that's them safe now. They can concentrate on their semi-final. Alan Pardew can talk about himself.
Yeah.
Everyone's nice happy.
Yeah. Could be the next England manager.
Say again?
Could be the next England manager.
Surely not, Henry. I'm sorry.
It was 6 months ago everyone was saying it, wasn't it?
If you're going to go English, who's it going to be then?
John Beck.
John Beck.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's a philosophy.
Surely not Pardew.
There's a philosophy.
Surely people have learned from the Steve McLaren disaster, no?
But the argument is it's got to be English.
Doesn't have to be. Pochettino.
An Argentinian coach of England.
That sounds marvelous.
Oh, God.
Get Klinsmann as assistant.
You can explain that to the England fans. Personally, look, leaving those particular national, look, Pochettino is far too good for England. But I think it should be English, because what's the point of having a coach development structure in this country if ultimately you're going to say the main man doesn't have to be English? Anyway, that's another podcast.
Villa 1, Bournemouth 2. A procession of defeats for Aston Villa. Isn't it impressive that over 30,000 people are still going to Villa Park, isn't it? Really.
And they're really enjoying it.
Having a great time.
Poor people.
Shall we celebrate Bournemouth's achievements instead? Because Bournemouth had some terrible injuries, you know, lost two or three really important players, and you would have thought a team coming up, losing those players, would struggle much more than they have. And just credit Eddie Howe and the football they play as well.
I was here for the first podcast of the season, producer Dave, and I said Bournemouth would stay up, and I was the only one who said Bournemouth would stay up. Everybody else was
You also said down. Leicester would win the league, didn't you?
But I raised my hand on this one. Yeah. But I said Bournemouth would stay up. I had a lot of faith in Eddie Howe and the work they were doing over there. And yes, they spent some money, and you know, I don't think they will deny that. But they spent their money well. I thought in January, maybe not on Juan Iturbe, but that's another problem. But I think they're doing a great job. And I think Eddie Howe, talking about English manager, it's too early to take on England, but at some point I think it would be a great head coach.
I asked him about that, and I said one of the problems, if we do go to, you mentioned McLaren earlier, is when they have kids of school age, because we're brutal. It's
really?
The whole McLaren, the stories I could tell you about the sort of the whole McLaren sort of family tension,
going
pressure of having, it's just awful. It's an older manager's
job.
Now you then have to debate, is Pardew an older manager, but he's certainly more experienced.
Or a bachelor.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Bournemouth are braced for an approach from the FA this summer.
You think?
I think so. I'm sure there'll be some,
If you're talking English, he would be, he'd be up there, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Do you think Eddie Howe could go to a bigger club this summer as well?
Definitely.
If he says no to England, then let's say a bigger club.
Definitely. I think he's the closest we've got to a Pochettino.
He was on Chelsea's long list.
Yeah.
But there aren't many bigger jobs available, are there? Obvious.
I think the day Wenger goes, it would be perfect for Arsenal.
Yeah, you're right.
If they go,
Koeman into Arsenal.
He won't be a young manager then, though, will he?
You think Koeman,
in 20 years...
Koeman could go into Arsenal now. It's all mad. You look at Koeman, he's actually got that sort of Arsenal aura about him in terms of... There's something about... Because you go around Arsenal, which you and Matt know really well. There's a certain class about the club. I'm not sort of talking about going back to the Hillwoods and all that. But they do things with a certain style. And Koeman, okay, apart from on the pitch in a certain game, you know, he does things with a certain class. And I could see him going there and transforming that team without actually necessarily bringing in too many new players.
Interestingly, I was on the long list for Strictly last year. But,
you didn't make it?
I didn't make the cut. Can you believe it?
Wait, really? That's brilliant.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Well, I mean, how long is the long list? Or is it just my agent trying to tell me something? I also once got a brilliant email saying, Subject line, celebrity squares. Are you interested? Can I swear? Yes, I'm interested. I don't even need to be a corner square. I'll go anywhere.
But the long list for Strictly, is it a bit like sort of the long list that Roy Hodgson has? So he has a 30-man squad. Do you then have to go into training? Do you have to go into training to start working on you?
No, sadly, you don't get to go to a training camp or anything like that. It just, you know, you're on the long list and then you're not on the short list.
But you'd have done it, Strictly.
The missus really doesn't want me to. Not that I'm a philanderer of any...
You would live with your dancer. You would live with your professional
dancer.
But
no, the issue I have is I'm captain of Polytechnic fourth team in the Southern Amateur League, right? So I would say to Strictly, I'll get there for six on a Saturday. But if we've got Actonians at home, I'm playing holding midfield now and I'm a bit... It would be good for the squad, but I'll do all the admin. I'm not doing the admin.
But
I'm doing
the
team sheet.
But film live, isn't it? Done on a Friday, so you can do
No, I think Strictly's live on a Saturday, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
So couldn't they put you as the last dancer on?
Exactly.
So you turn up at 8:45
and say, "Look,
I would love to see you in one of your shin pads."
Well, I've got terrible ankles. I'd do it in my.
I'd love to see you with one of those outfits. You know, like up in here and.
But then you know, from there you go to the one show, you know, and then you know you get to do those really incongruous, you know. Linked when they go, welcome to the one show, here's Bruce Willis, and they go, and Bruce goes hi, and you go, hang on a sec, Bruce, and then he turns to the camera and say, one in three of us will have a stroke, here's Phil Tufnell to talk about strokes, comes back off that and you go, Bruce, ever had one? And he's looking going, what the hell have I done here?
I die hard.
It's the dream. Yeah. Manchester City 2 West Brom 1, does that mean fourth is Manchester City's now pretty much given the other results?
It's likely, isn't it? Was it 4-point gap, much better goal difference to United, 6 games left. I think they're just going to do enough. Obviously, their season is tomorrow night, isn't it? Against PSG. Great game. Interesting to see if Kompany plays or not. I think he probably will, even on one leg.
Yeah, I would think so. A relief for Pep if they finish fourth. Not a relief if they win the Champions League. What do you think Pep's thinking? I mean, I don't know Pep at all, but would he want Manchester City to win the Champions League?
Have you read Pep Confidential?
I haven't.
Probably the greatest book written. Probably.
Whatever. Including Catch 22. Or we're saying football.
Go back
football
to the book. Maybe go back to the Bible. Okay. Yes, certainly best football book I've read in the last 10 years. Anyway, it is an extraordinary close-up analysis of one of the most driven individuals in modern life, let alone football life. I mean, it's scary reading what he's like on match days. You know, he is right on the edge. He is not eating. He is just driven. I mean, we know how driven Rafa is, but Guardiola's driven even more. And you just think, he won't care. I mean, look, if they win the Champions League, it'll be even easier to get players in. Guardiola moves to his own rhythm, a bit like you would have done in Strictly. He would have been, he'll be a success. The one thing he will be surprised by is that he won't expect there are as many ambushes as there are in English football. Every game can be a ravine with sharpshooters on the top.
I just wanted to finish by saying well done, Northampton Town, for getting promoted from League Two in proper football, because they, you know, very close to going out of business soon. Does anybody else want to add anything today, or
sad that Bolton have gone down?
Absolutely,
in the old snakes and ladders. I mean, the debt's crazy, but you go there and they do. You know, they're one of the great historic clubs of this country, and we're so obsessed with the here and now that it's important to remember. You know, Leeds, look at the support the Leeds are pulling in. You know, people say, well, Aston Villa deserves to go down. Aston Villa were one of the founding fathers. You go to the ground, you see William McGregor's statue and all that. You know, it's sad when you see these great distinguished characters, the Mount Rushmore of our football, crumbling before our eyes.
Perfect way to end it. What's the rest of your day, Julien?
Working on the City PSG game and a wonderful win for PSG tomorrow night, obviously, to go through to the semi-final to play Wolfsburg and then reaching the final in Milan at the end of May.
Matt, rest of your day?
Similar, yes, going up to City tomorrow for probably game of the season so far, really, isn't it? Yeah, it's all on the line. Will Zlatan score a penalty?
Henry, the rest of your day?
I'm addressing the Arsenal Supporters Trust tonight, in which I'll be justifying my criticism of Arsene Wenger, or trying to.
You'll go down very well there, then, won't you?
Yeah. And what about you there,
Max? I'm meeting Clive for lunch, so that'll be nice. And then going to the homeless shelter. I don't like to talk about charity work that I do. Thank you, Julien.
Thank you.
You look great.
You too.
Thanks, Matt.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Henry.
Look forward to Strictly.
Gab is back in the hot seat next week. Go to thetimes.co.uk for exclusive Premier League highlights every week. Goodbye.
Your subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times now comes with access to every Barclays Premier League goal. Refresh your app, choose your team, accept notification, and you're away.
Thank you for downloading. To discover more, head to thetimes.co.uk.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, Road Station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.